Ghost Stories Online. Who was the phone call from that came late one night while everyone was sound asleep?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show and you want to help keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, in that little tease, you said, you know, who was it that called late at night? And I know who it was. It was...
Miss Cleo?
A woman. It was a woman calling to find out about your car's extended warranty. Because somebody's really concerned about that these days. Do you know that your car's warranty is expired?
I know.
Shut up!
What? And I miss... Here's what I miss about telemarketers. It used to be you would get... when it was like a legit telemarketer... They would be there on the phone like right away and they talk to you. Now it seems like the only ones that are there right away are the real extreme scams that are not really telemarketing. The ones that are more legit are more like press one here. Now press four. And then we'll determine if you should talk to an agent. You know, but it's like I don't know. I miss just having the person to talk to right away because I could screw with them. It's too much for me to press these digits now.
I'm impressed that you even know that much because all I know is the woman, whatever her name is concerned about my car's warranty being expired. And then I'm like, bitch, every time. Like, I haven't even gotten through far enough to find out what you do. So you have to press one or something?
She doesn't like you calling her a bitch, and that's why she keeps calling you back. Like, no, she really feels like slighted, like you don't even know her and you're calling her.
And it's like, I'm calling you back. I'm calling you back. Yeah. I'm calling you back.
And she just maybe like English is a second language or something. And she just knows that line.
Well, and it's this weird, like recorded female calling about my extended warranty. And so I've never gotten through, like, but when my mom was sick after she had her stroke, I was getting calls from insurance companies and Medicaid and Medicare and hospitals. And so it was all kinds of different area codes that I kept getting calls from. So one day at work, I'm answering all the calls because I'm assuming it's something to do with my mother. And I got like 10 of those warranty calls in like 3 hours. And I'm like, I am expecting some phone calls. Quit with... And the other thing is, I have an extended warranty. Like, do some research.
Have you ever...
Figure out who's got the extended warranty.
Have you ever done the thing where you're online and you're like, oh, yeah, sure, I want to get an estimate on something. And you, like, you Google, like, how to get an estimate on something. And then it goes to a site that looks like it's just, like, a single business site. And you fill out the form for like, you know, please contact me. And then it goes out to like 70 different people or 70 different contractors.
No, I have never done that.
Oh, I've done that before. It's been a while, but I remember that one. I'm like, what the hell? And cause I thought I was just putting this in for this one specific company to contact me. But they use names that sound like that. So then it ends up being, it's a lead generation service. So then like all 70 of those people paid like $10 for my lead. And then they're all, they start calling you like, you know, piranhas. And it's just like, and they don't stop for like a day. So you, I mean, those things, it's, you got to be careful with. But yeah, so I sound like an old person, like a really old person. But I'm not.
You're so old.
I, like, you gotta be careful with the internet, kiddies. Get into this.
Next thing you know, you're going to sign up for something you don't want.
You're going to be
in. People are going to call you.
You mean those Yahoo chat rooms, and suddenly Chris Hansen's at your breakfast counter asking for a bagel. And if you like condoms as a side, that's uncomfortable. I don't like that.
All of a sudden you're from Wisconsin.
I did a Wisconsin one
today.
I love
that voice.
I usually go southern when it's I guess it's northern for that one.
What? Chris Hansen, you say?
Yeah.
Oh, I just turned almost Irish.
You go in there and suddenly you're getting a breakfast bagel, put that together for the guy, and he's like, oh, what is that? Is that jelly that you're going to put on there? Is that KY jelly on that piece of French toast? I said, oh, no, I'm looking for Welch. It's not K. Then why do you got the KY in your pocket there, sir? I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, and it's kind of leaking a little bit. I got a little leakage going on. So I screw it back on really tight. I'm like, I'm sorry. Did you want some of this, Mr. Hansen? And he says, no. But do you want some of this? And he shows me these transcripts. And it's my username. And I'm saying stuff to people like, oh, my goodness. I'm just blushing when I think about it. It involves parts of me that I don't think many people have seen in a long time, including myself.
I don't know who that was, but I really like that guy.
I was possessed.
That was funny.
I was possessed for a moment.
Thank you for that.
All completely at random. Like, I didn't even know where I was going with it. I was like, let's keep going. All right, let's go into our first ghost story of the day. Starts out, ever since I was little, I had weird experiences with ghosts or the paranormal. I was raised extremely religious, so I always thought it to stay away from it. I was told it was all demonic. My first ever memory of a ghost was talking to my grandmother in her favorite rocking chair. The only thing was that it was a few days after she had passed away in the apartment below us. I wasn't scared. I didn't find it weird at all. It was just 6-year-old me having a conversation with my grandmother. My mom came in and asked who I was talking to, and I replied, Grandma, and pointing to the rocking chair. She immediately grabbed me and said it was time for us to go to church. I always heard voices or saw ghosts around the house, but whenever I brought it up, I was told to pray to God and that it was the demons trying to trick me. Over time, I became afraid, and I stopped seeing or hearing things altogether. Left the church in my late teens and had been trying to let go of my fear. I don't believe it was demons because they never seemed malicious or like they were trying to hurt or scare me. My first experience of anything paranormal in my adult life was when I was in my mid-20s. I had a very close friend whose mother passed away, whom I also was very close with, especially since I was shunned by my own mother after leaving the church. Her death came by surprise. She was only in her early 50s. Started having dreams of her and figured it was just me missing her. That was until one evening I was taking a bath. Left my phone in the sink, and I had all the lights off with the candles lit. Had my phone on silent, but I could see that it was ringing because I saw it lighting up. I ignored it because I was relaxing. When I got out of the tub, I saw a missed call on my phone. This is my friend's mother. I got chills all over my body. I immediately texted my friend and asked her if she had her mom's phone. She said that she had it, but the battery was dead, and she thinks they had cut off service. I told her I received a call from that number. She was in disbelief. So I sent her a screenshot to show her it was real. She was really freaked out and didn't know what to say. There's no voicemail left or anything, so I thought maybe I'd call the number back. A few hours later, I finally mustered up the courage to call it back and got what I got was this number has been disconnected message again. I got chills all over my body. That night, I had another dream of her. She came to me telling me that I should check her email. The dream, I kept asking for her password, but she just kept saying her email address over and over. The next day, I contacted her daughter again and told her about my dream. She was weirded out again, and she said she wished she would have dreams of her like that. I told her that she kept saying to check her email, and she tried to figure out what the password was, but could never get into it. I still wondered to this day if there was anything in her email that she wanted us to see. I haven't had dreams of her since or any other experience with her. I've not received any more phone calls from anyone. But I still often have dreams of loved ones who have passed away over the years. Most vivid ones were of my father, who passed away almost 2 years ago now. Thoughts?
Like, I don't know that I could call the number back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it could if I waited like till the next day and I was outside, it's sunshiny and I feel safe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's really weird. You can't fake that you received a phone call.
No.
You know, when you screenshot that, that's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I had, you know what, and it reminded me that I had a dream last night of our mutual friend we used to work with who died of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so strange. But even at the time in the dream, I was thinking, this isn't a visitation dream, though. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
But it was so good to see him, and he looked great. And it was all about his son. Mm-hmm. He was just very focused on his son. And in the dream, I knew that he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, my God.
You're back.
It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. It was like, oh, hey, you know, your son's going to be so excited that I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we were in a car and it's like, oh, by the way, look who's here. And his son was there. And it was just weird. It was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's those dreams are so strange. It's like, is there a message in it? Did I miss the message? I don't know. Or is it just a dream?
Yeah.
You know, so I get those dreams like where you get a message versus just a dream of that person, a visitation dream. They're all just different.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
It's very interesting, you know, when you have those things. And I was talking about this in an episode the other day. With Todd, where it was, you know, at the end of the day, the messages in those dreams are so personal. It doesn't really matter what other people think. If they believe you that it was this or that, all that matters is how that ended up affecting you as a person.
Agreed. I agree with that.
Yeah. It's just, they're certainly very, very compelling when they happen.
Sometimes it's like, it'll scare you. And other times, like last night, and it wasn't like a visitation. That's a different sort of dream.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt good that I saw him.
Do you think it was an actual visit with him, or do you think it was just kind of your mind, you know, just running through things?
That one I don't know. But I never dream about him. That's what was weird.
Yeah.
And I saw him and he just looked so healthy. And when, you know, by the end of his life, he didn't look good at all.
Yeah.
And he just looked healthy and happy, and seeing him like that, even in my dream, I was like, dang, he looks so good.
Because
we hadn't seen him like that for a long time.
No.
It's been years since we had seen him like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a slow journey for him.
I think anytime, you're right, anytime you get a dream like that, maybe there's a message in it for you. Maybe it doesn't, I don't think it ever matters if anybody believes you or not.
Exactly. No, I think
you know what it is.
I think sometimes we get too focused on someone else verifying it. It's like, you're missing the point if that's, you know, what you need, you know?
Now, I do think sometimes you do need to listen to your heart when you get that, like, it's a message for someone.
Yeah.
And we've talked about those before. Like, I do think sometimes you got to just suck it up and be like, okay, this is going to sound crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then let that person know. And then they can do with that information what they want.
Exactly. I've heard many stories like that now over the years from people who've done it. And it sounds awkward. And sometimes you get those crazy looks. But sometimes, more times than not, it seems they get the, oh, my God, I don't know how you knew that, but thank you. And
yeah,
they walk and like, okay, you know. More people, I think, are in tune to those sort of ideas and or receptive to them than I think we think sometimes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and entire gang. I have called previously in regards to my daughter, who has seen things ever since she was young. And now she has a lady that comes to her in her dream. I know one of the last episodes that I heard that was played, was talking about maybe she'll grow out of it, and perhaps she will. We have still yet to do that, and we're early. We're a teenager now, officially a teenager. So this has been going on for some time, and she's continuing to do that. And I began to think about all the other people that have called in and how the majority, and I started thinking about my family as well, how my mother will have dreams and premonitions, not so much as like Lily as far as it just, or my daughter, as it being so evident. One of her most recent ones she had told me back a few months ago did happen. And I'm like, it didn't make any sense at the time. But it definitely does now. But so it's continuing. She is, doing well with it though. But I ran into a friend the other day, and I hadn't ever shared this story with anyone, just because I know this sounds silly, but we had gone out with to hotel. Anyone who knows me, we had booked this hotel, nice hotel, but I always go in and I look and I make sure I turn down bed sheets, and I make sure I never sleep under the actual duvet or whatever. I just sleep under a blanket and a sheet, but I always pull it back and I make sure nothing's there. And I actually keep the duvet folded down, because we got our check-in time, we'd gotten there later than way normal, because we had just had a late dinner, that sort of thing. So that night, it's about 2:30, I would say, in the morning. She's like, my friend, who we had queen size beds. It was a suite. But we were sharing with other friends, and so we had the two queen size. And she's like, do you mind if I roll over and go to bed? And I'm like, I'll leave the TV on if that's okay. I'll sit. And she's like, yeah, I'd rather have something going. So we had left the bathroom light on, which you could barely see the way it was set up. And I thought, well, I'm just going to leave the TV on a timer in case I fall asleep. But I continue watching some television for a while, probably another hour. And she had rolled over, and I had heard her move kind of the remote when she initially had gone to sleep. I had moved the lamp and some things on the table, and then it handed me the remote so I could set it on, sleep, whatever I wanted to watch, and then I set it on sleep timer. But anyway, all of a sudden, I had rolled over. She had rolled over. I had heard her roll over, and she's like screaming bloody murder. And I roll back over to the position I was in. And as I'm doing that, I realize there's a woman on the end of my bed. She's standing. I could tell you to this day exactly what she looks like. I could probably draw her down to her nightgown and what it kind of looked like. She looked like someone from maybe a late teenager, early 20s, from the 70s, just the way her hair was parted and how long it was, and it wasn't pulled back. But she had on a long nightgown, and she had her arms in front of her, and her hands were clasped. And she was looking down at me, like, not sorrowful, but she was smiling. But it was kind of like a, when you're happy for someone, but you hate to see them go kind of smile. It was one of those kind of smiles. And when I look at my friend who's in bed next to me, I'm like, what did you just see? And by the time I look back, the lady's gone. And she explained to and in-depth detail what she saw, and it felt like the woman was there for a while. I'm sure it was only maybe 5 or 10 minutes. I never did figure out who she was. I know when we would ask or get fresh clean towels or whatever, they would just drop them off and leave abruptly, and I thought, we had tipped well. I can't imagine, maybe they think we're not going to tip again at the end of the stay, because I always tip as well. At that time as well. So I didn't know if we had offended them or something by checking in late. So I didn't know. I didn't know. But anyway, this time it's summertime, so we had to turn off the air conditioner so we could hear every little noise, because I wasn't really as scared as she was. I was frightened. We slept back to back, literally, like, butt cheek to butt cheek. We had to peel ourselves off one another because it was so hot the next morning. We took showers. We took turns taking showers. One of us would stand guard by sitting on the toilet and the other while the other one took a shower, and vice versa. Well, as I get out of the shower, I have my robe on, my hair is up, and I come out of the bathroom first. She's still in there blow drying her hair, whatever, and I'm like, really funny. I'll call her B. I'm like, really funny, B. That's funny. Ha, ha, ha. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, really funny while I was in the shower. And she's like, what are you talking about? And then I'm thinking, wait a minute. She didn't get off the toilet when I was in the shower. Like, she didn't move. She wouldn't move from me. But there were pennies all over my bed. Like, all over my bed. And there's no way I could have missed that initially or even when I fell asleep. Because they were everywhere. It's like... So the first one I picked up was my birth year, and the second penny I picked up was her birth year. And I just left them there because I was like, I just set them back down. I thought, I don't know who that woman was. I don't know why she would be showing me pennies. I don't know who she thinks I am. So when I got back into town, we vowed to tell one. And the gentleman I was seeing at the time, was like, hey, you know, do you think we could get together in a few? And I'm like, yeah, in a few days, whatever. Like, get on wine, all that stuff. So he's like, for some reason, he's like, he said, I got you something. He bought me a book or whatever. And he said, I got you something else. He said, I saw this, and I know your father collects these. So he said, I saw the year, and I knew I had to have it, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, open your hand. And when I opened my hand, it was a penny with my birth year on it. And it was some kind of special one. It wasn't a wheat penny. I don't remember if it was a wheat or a Susan B. Anthony. But I was like, why don't you just keep that? Or is it okay if I give it to my father? And he's like, I can hang on to it for you. That way you don't lose it. I guess he thought, because I didn't want to tell him the entire story. So he held, and I said, what made you? He said, I just saw that when I was out and about at a flea market, and I thought of you, and then I saw the birth year, and I thought, well, I have to get this for Heather. So, yeah, I don't know what the... I never did find out the connection. I never... As far as I know, that hotel was very new. So I don't know if someone... I feel like it was someone that had resided there either on the property, because she did not look of our time, but at the same time, she wasn't like dressed in 1800s garb or anything of that nature. So I just thought I would tell my story. I do think it brings me back to, I do think a lot of this clairvoyancy and past, of course, my daughter's is way stronger than mine, obviously, or my mother's. But I do think it is a family dynamic thing. A lot of times sisters will experience it or have the same emotions at the same time. I do that with my sisters sometimes because we're close. My brother and I used to be that way before he passed. So I just wanted to get your guys' insight on that. Because I do hear it a lot on your podcast as well. I thank you so much, as always, for everything that you do. We appreciate you more than you'll ever know. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I don't want to ever stay at that hotel. But the thing is, you know how I feel about pennies.
Yeah.
And I think pennies are a really beautiful sign. Mm-hmm. So if my bed was covered in pennies, number one, it would be like, holy shit, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I would actually interpret all of this scary stuff as a good omen. Like, I would see those pennies and think something good's getting ready to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, someone is going to shower me. Like, something amazing is going to happen. That's that, honest to God, that's how I would feel. Mm-hmm. You know, because I've had them just show up in the most random of places, and like, my car broke down and it was going to be $1,700 or $2,000. Yeah. I don't have any money. and I'm bawling, and I go to bed that night, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell to do. I don't know what to do. What would my dad do? Mm-hmm. It's all I could think, because I'm like, if my dad was here, he would tell me what to do. And so when I woke up in the morning, I'm like, I'm going to get it fixed. I'm just going to bite the bullet, get it fixed. So when I went to get my car, it's all cleaned out. Like, they vacuumed it. It's spotless. So I opened the door, and I'm like, wow, they did a great job. And I look right in the smack middle of the driver's side floorboard is a penny. Like, there's no dirt or gravel or leaves or anything like that. They vacuumed it out really well. It was almost like they had it detailed for me. Like, they did that good a job. And I'm like, I made the right decision. Yes, that's how I took it. It was like validating to me. So I don't know. I'm like, I kept thinking like maybe the guy gave her the penny of her birth year. And then it was like, and then he ended up being the man I married. You know, I thought it was going to go something like that. Yeah. I was looking for some kind of Hollywood ending to that. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as the bed was covered in pennies, I forgot all the other shit. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So I don't know, but it's a great story.
It is. It is a very good one. Thank you for sharing that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's grab this one and take a listen. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, this is Thalia calling in from Seattle, and I'd like to share my ghost story. This story happened when I was around like 10 or 11. I'm 13 now, but there's this old abandoned house that is down the street from where I'm currently living, and I was riding bikes around the neighborhood with a friend at the time, and she and I decided that we were going to go try and see what's in the old abandoned house. And so the house there was at the bottom of the hill that she lived on. So you would walk down the hill and then at the bottom of the hill, there would be a little bridge. And once you crossed that bridge, the house was there. We knew it was very old and no one had been there for a while because there was a car in the driveway. And the dust was so thick, we could write our names in it. And we crossed the bridge and we pushed open the door, and there wasn't really anything inside. So we went in. I was feeling very nervous because I get scared easily. And my friend said, okay, let's go into the bedroom. So we walked into the room that we guessed was the bedroom. And I saw something move out of the corner of my eye, and that scared me just too much. So I decided that it was time for me to go home because I was getting way too scared. And about a couple days later, my friend comes over, and she tells me that she went further into the house and that there was definitely something in there because she went down the stairs and out to the backyard, and there was this mop, she said, that was covered in dust, and it was basically glued to the wall with cobwebs. But every time she walked past it, it would fall over, and she kept on hearing this voice saying, get out. So she left, but yeah, that's the story.
So do you think it happened to the friend, or is a friend trying to scare the other friend because they're teenagers and that's what you do?
You know what? I hadn't thought of that because I just assumed she was telling her what had happened.
Sure.
It
sounds like a really interesting setting.
There is an element of that because she had an experience in the house, and then the friend doesn't want her to like have the only experience.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
And so I don't know.
I mean, seems like they could have stuff, and I wonder if like the, you know, the mop part sounds pretty legit. The get out might be a little much, but maybe. It feels like this is something where it's like when you're a teenager, you have an experience, and there's enough to it where it's like that's creepy and weird. But then you kind of add a little bit more. And I remember doing that sort of stuff. It was fun.
I mean, that's just funny because I hadn't thought about that until you said it. And now I'm not the girl who would have done that, but I know other girls who would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, she saw something. Well, I got to see something bigger than she did.
Sure.
Now, that said, she had... Now, a lot of young girls these days kind of talk the same. Mm-hmm. And she had a great voice.
She did.
Like, I did not think she was 13 or whatever she said she was. I kind of thought she sounded like she was in her 20s. Mm-hmm. And a lot of girls kind of have the same affectation in their voice. And so she didn't. And I was kind of wrapped up in listening to her talk because I thought, that's Harper.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, your daughter's that way too. Mm-hmm. And I just like that.
Yeah. Well spoken. She's very yourself. Well spoken. Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, the advanced episodes, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. It's all there for you. $5 a month, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.